Live, we're kicking off hour number three of the Wednesday edition, and you can bring up whatever you want. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free. And again, freetalklive.com. Well, Mark, I got an email in, I believe it was last night, from Alan Hacker. Now, who's Alan Hacker? Most people probably never heard of this guy before, but if you run within the libertarian circles, the libertarian activist circles, as I do, you may have heard of Mr. Hacker. He was the campaign manager of Michael Badnarik. Now, well, I think more people know who Michael Badnarik is, at least amongst libertarian circles. Even some outside of libertarian circles might have heard of Michael Badnarik. He was the libertarian presidential candidate in the year 2004. And because he was the libertarian presidential candidate, he got a lot of attention, at least around libertarian circles.
He's a brilliant man.
He got a lot of radio interviews.
I saw him speak. I had to drive a couple hours to go see him, but I saw him speak, and it was great.
Right. I like him. He knows a lot about the Constitution. He's very well educated on that. Knows a lot about government and why government doesn't work and on and on. He was a great libertarian candidate. Now, he went and ran for Texas House. It wasn't State House. It was U.S. House of Representatives in District 10 in Texas here in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And in his 2006 campaign, he did absolutely miserably. Now, he did better. I mean, as far as percentage of the vote, he did better than he did nationally in his national campaign. But, that's to be expected. He actually did about 4.5% is, I believe, what he came in with total.
It was a real disappointment to libertarians everywhere.
Well, it wasn't a disappointment because he was our presidential candidate at one time, but it was a disappointment because they had over $400,000 that they had raised for that particular race. They had some major, major dollars behind the race,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't do remarkably better than any of the other candidates, and then the paper candidates, then the ones that just put their name on the ballot and then sat back and watched the results come in. Those guys got 2 to 3%,
yeah.
and Badnarik got 4.5%. Was the extra 1.5% worth the over $250,000 that they spent?
Almost a $500,000.
Yeah. The answer, in my opinion, is definitely no. But Alan Hacker disagrees, and we're going to get to his email here in a moment. But first, let's talk to Jim in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, doing great, Jim. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to your Saturday show, and you guys were talking about child pornography, I guess.
Well, more specifically, we were talking about how a federal court case may redefine what child pornography is. Because as of right now, it tends to be actual sexual activity involving children. Now we're talking about possibly criminalizing people for taking pictures of clothed teenagers.
Right, and you guys were talking about, you guys, were just on the moral ambiguity of it, which I think is probably a good reason why you can't legislate morality, because everybody has different standards, which seems like a strong argument against child pornography, but I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me that it's gross, but there's nothing inherently criminal about producing or distributing child pornography.
What the criminal part is when you're forcing kids to have sex on camera, which is how a lot of this product is produced. There are children that are essentially forced to have sex with their stepfathers and fathers while on camera. So really the issue, of course, is force, beyond the fact that most people just find it despicable.
Right. I mean, it's despicable, and if you force someone to have sex on camera, forcing them to have sex on camera is the case that are a problem. But the real crime is rape, because it's a violation of their rights.
That much is true. For instance, here's an example for you. I know somebody who, when she was very young, she was 14, she had sex with another girl who was of also about the same age, 14 or 15, and they both videotaped the sexual encounter together. Now, what you have there, by law, is absolutely child pornography. I mean, by law. But was it a consensual act? Well, yeah, there wasn't an adult in the room. It wasn't like an adult said, here, take this camera and take this tape, and then go in that room over there and film whatever you guys do together. No, it was just these two young people doing what young people do, which is make mistakes. Because if they had been found out, if somebody had gotten their hands on that tape, we could have had porn charges brought against them. And that wouldn't have helped them.
Which is wrong. I mean, if you're dealing with like a legal transaction between a minor and a legal adult, then three parties basically have to consent. The adult, the child, and the child's parents. And if you can get all three of them to agree that, okay, we're going to make this child porn, I mean, that's kind of gross. And
well, it is gross.
We're going to get a kid's parents to agree to make a child pornography, but if they all agree to it, I mean, honestly, if they agree to it and then you step in and say, wait, you can't make that, all of a sudden you're the one using force and you're the one violating their rights.
Yeah, it's essentially the same situation as the polygamists out in Utah. I mean, it's morally, to most people in America, their situation is morally completely unacceptable. The idea that these guys marry 14-year-old girls or 13-year-old, 15-year-old girls at the age of 50, they're getting married to these girls, having sex with them, having babies with them, and then marrying their babies, 15
right.
years down the line. I mean, this, to most Americans, is completely anathema to their way of life. But is it wrong? Because they're all agreeing to it. I mean, while you might be able to argue, well, yeah, they're brainwashing these girls, okay, maybe so, but nonetheless, they are being raised in a situation where this is normal for them. Who are we to say that this is something that we should be locking them into jail cells for? If indeed force isn't being used, I can't see what the problem is. If they want to, like, for instance, if the polygamists were found to have, been making videotapes of their, for instance, the 50-year-old polygamist guy's married to a 14-year-old girl, he's married to her by their standards, by their legal standards. If they put that on tape, then you've got an extra charge on there. Either way, I say stay out of it. It's none of my business. I might find it disgusting, but they're not hurting me.
You know, this is where you and I break ways here. I just don't support child porn, and I feel that distributing it and possessing it, and I mean real live child porn.
You're talking about children.
Yeah.
We're using that term way too interchangeably here.
Right.
I don't believe that a 16-year-old girl is a child.
17-year-old girls that might be 18 or, some ambiguous photo like that, and she's an actual pornographic. And I'm not talking about pictures of kids in bathtubs or even pictures of kids who might be experimenting with each other that they took. I'm talking about real live child porn that everybody knows is child porn.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be illegal, and I think that people who possess it should be in big trouble.
Jim, any other thoughts?
Yeah, that kind of brings it back to the point, because we can go back and forth and argue on that all night, which is exactly the reason why laws should never be made on the basis of morality or social standards. The only basis for law is natural rights and consensual contracts.
So Jim is essentially pointing out that while you may vehemently disagree, his morality dictates otherwise, and who's going to be in charge? Who's going to set the rules? Probably somebody that doesn't agree with either of you.
I think that I think it's an interesting intellectual point to debate, and I think that it makes it's one of those points that relegates libertarians to the fringe, and I'm not with it. I'm not for it, and I don't like it.
Any final thoughts? Jim?
No.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. At 800-259-9231. You know, I just feel like I can sympathize with Jim on this, because I don't want...
Of course you can. You're putting the F in fringe.
...to pay for keeping these people in jail. They may have done something despicable, and in that case, I believe they should be ostracized. They should be outed. I mean, I think it'd be enough, for instance, if the news... The local TV news did a report that outed that, somebody somehow found out that their next-door neighbor was touching their daughter or whatever it is that they were doing, and then the information came out, and the news reports on it. This guy's career's been ruined.
I don't think that's good enough. Really, I mean, what about this? I've got enough money to live on for the rest of my life, and I decide to have children. And I give all the male children up for adoption, and I keep all the female children as a harem.
What about the guys in Central Florida we talked about a few years ago that were found to have been having sex with their own family, an incest situation? They weren't bothering me, and until the news came out...
Incest doesn't bother me if it's consensual and amongst
what?
Siblings. Amongst siblings.
Amongst siblings. See, even you are a freak, Mark, compared to most people's standards.
Why,
most people will be outraged by that. Nobody's going to argue with that.
I'm disgusted by it.
Most people believe that incest should be illegal.
No.
And it is. More's on the way. Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Ted Anderson for Midas. It's December 6, 2006. Gold's at $6.32.80, and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $6.53.62, $3.29.36 for half, and $1.59.58 for quarter ounce coins. That's $6.53.62, $3.29.36, and $1.59.58. On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11,110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helps. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bedfan.com.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. Is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll-free 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, and that does include archives. An entire year's worth of the show right there, front page of the website, for your downloading convenience. You just go and get them. They're free at freetalklive.com. And get registered now for the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, Attaining Economic and Personal Freedoms in America's Freest State. This three-day event, February 23rd through the 25th, will be held convention-style in historic Concord, with some of the program taking place in the State House. Register now at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. That is freestateproject.org/libertyforum. Just some final thoughts on this very disturbing topic, the topic that is bound to outrage people just by bringing it up, talking about child pornography. Now, Mark, you said, before we went away to the break,
mm-hmm.
you said that you didn't want to make libertarians look like a bunch of crackpots
mm-hmm.
By taking the side of not having laws against people producing consensual underage pornography.
Right.
And I understand where you're coming from on that. Impressions are certainly important. We don't want to offend people, no doubt about it. But then you follow that up by saying that you believe incest should be legal between brothers and sisters? You don't think you're going to offend people with that?
It's consensual. I mean, what difference does it make if
it's consensual when two 15-year-olds have sex?
If two 15-year-olds have sex and they happen to be brother and sister, what can you do about that? Put them in jail? I mean, really, what's the legitimate, smart answer for that? Nobody's going to say that making it putting them in jail makes any sense.
But I just want to understand what you believe. You also support the polygamists as well, correct?
Right. I think you should be able to have as many wives or as many husbands
as
you
want. What if the wife is 13?
I think that that's a problem if you don't, if you happen to be, you know, depending on where you live, I think that that's a problem. But I wouldn't make it illegal. I would not make having a 13-year-old wife illegal.
So it should be illegal if you're having incest with your son or daughter,
yes.
But yet it should be legal in your mind to get married to a girl or a girl or boy of the same age and have sex with them then.
I'm sorry, a girl of the same age? What do you mean?
Okay, for instance, you believe that incest should be legal if it's with a boy and a girl, a brother and sister.
Yeah, frowned upon, but legal.
But it should be legal, or excuse me, should be illegal if it's dad having sex with his son or daughter.
Correct.
Or mom having sex with her son or daughter. That should be illegal.
Blah.
So that's bad in your book,
uh-huh.
But it's okay. And you're saying the other thing's bad, you just don't want to make it illegal. So we're just talking about the law here, not what you personally believe. I want to make it clear, Mark's not a sicko, weirdo, pervert. We're just talking about what should and should not... when the law should and should not get involved. So the law should get involved when daddy or mommy are having sex with their son or daughter... But the law shouldn't get involved when you've got a 50-year-old man who's marrying a 13-year-old and presumably having sex with her?
When it comes to 13-year-olds, your parents are going to have to sign off, right?
I mean, okay.
It's they're wards of their parents, so the parents have to give their consent.
And they all live in the polygamist community, so the parents give their consent.
It doesn't really matter to me where they live. They could live in the middle of New York City,
okay.
As far as I'm concerned, and they could be Presbyterian, white Presbyterians.
Not likely, but okay.
It doesn't seem likely, but if the parents say that their 13-year-old daughter can marry a 50-year-old man, I really don't have, and the 13-year-old daughter doesn't have any problem with it. I think that everybody should spend just a little bit of time talking to a judge. But, you know, that's my opinion.
So the problem comes in when it's a family member, is what you're saying.
What do you mean? Yes. Well, the family member, basically, the parent has to make a decision for the child whether or not they can get married, correct? The child gets to make a decision, too, but the parents have to make a decision because they're the ward.
Okay.
When the parent is the ward and then is then making the sexual overtures towards the child... It screws up that whole system, and the law has to come into play in order to protect the child.
Right, which, of course, the law is only going to come into play in that case if somehow the word happens to get out. I mean, there was a case a while back, Central Florida,
but
the incest had been going
on forever.
Fathers
mess with daughters all the time, and what you're having a problem
usually
with is...
Usually stepfathers, I think, is how that works.
It does. You're right. But the problem that you're pointing out is when it's non-consensual. Now, when it's consensual, obviously no one's going to find out about it, but it often happens non-consensually, you know, stepfathers messing around with children mm-hmm. and you know, all kinds of different situations
right.
inside of families. So
so it's okay with you for two 14-year-olds to videotape themselves having sex.
What are you going to do about that?
Throw them in jail. Like
no.
They could throw these kids in jail, the 12 and 13-year-old that had sex with one another.
You know
they
I don't agree with that. You know
thank goodness they didn't tape it or they'd be in real trouble.
That doesn't make any sense whatever.
Okay, but it's bad if there's an adult who gives them the camera.
I would say that, if an adult gives them the camera, it's gotten coercive, and that's not a good thing.
So it's not coercive if they're both agreeing to it, but if adult and a third party, an adult, agrees to it as well,
right,
then it is coercive?
It's gotten coercive.
And you don't think this is going to marginalize you in the views of, you know, in the eyes of many people?
No, I think that this is very normal. I think it's absolutely normal. I mean, I think that there's
a brother and sister having sex with one another is
what?
Normal?
Do you think I support that? I'm only saying, what are you going to do when a 14-year-old and a brother and a 14-year-old sister
lock them up? Send a message.
I don't think anybody thinks that, Ian. That's
well,
a crazy
why are those
fringe
laws
idea.
On the book?
Because people don't want it to happen, and they think that writing a law means that it won't. And they're stupid. They haven't thought it all the way through. They think, I'm going to write this law, and that way kids won't have sex, you know, brothers and sisters won't have sex with each other when they're 14.
What I'm pointing out here is that if you were to tune into Free Talk Live during the midst of this conversation and hear the things that even you are advocating, Mark, it would look bad. I mean, it would look bad.
I don't think so. I disagree. I think that it makes perfectly good sense. Everything I've said is logical and would be agreed by the majority of Americans.
And what I've said is logical
as well.
At least
in my age demographic.
I agree with you, Mark. I just wanted to flesh it out here. And what I say
I know
is
you
logical
agree with
as
me,
well.
And you go a hell of a lot farther.
Well, what I say makes more sense, because if you find out that your next-door neighbor is having sex with his or her daughter or son, and that information comes out, and, for instance, you believe that that's a bad thing and that these kids aren't consenting to it and you want to put a stop to it, you should go over there and kidnap the kids yourself. Because, honestly, that's what you're calling the government for, right? You're just putting it in their hands. You're just calling the government and saying, hey, my neighbor's having incest. Please come and arrest them. Or take their kids away from them. Because eventually that's what's going to happen. Their kids are going to get taken away from them. And wouldn't it be better if the kids were in the hands of people who really cared as opposed to the government? I think we ought to have a private squad of people that goes around kidnapping kids from abusive families like that.
That's a great idea.
Don't you think it would work? Don't you think it would be better for the kids rather than just kidnapping, rather than having the government thugs come kidnap the kids and then hand them over to some other perverts known as foster families?
I've thought about it a great deal. This isn't the first time you've posited
right.
such a thing, and I can't say that I think it's a terrible idea. I just think that it's really weird.
You're just replacing the kidnapper, that's all.
You really are just replacing the kidnapper.
And if the perverted family wants to go and challenge the kidnapping in a arbitration court, then they're going to have an interesting time, aren't they? Because they're going to have to prove that, they...
Well, the kidnappers better have a lot of proof against the kidnapped family. Because what if a group of gypsies just goes around kidnapping kids and then accusing families of diddling them?
Let's go to the phones. Stephen in Massachusetts, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hello?
Hey, Stephen, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I was just calling about something that your last caller said when he talked about not forcing your morality on other people, particularly by using the law.
We're going to come back and explore that a little bit more. Hang on, Stephen. We'll be back with you. 800-259-9231. Forcing morality onto others. And, of course, the ultimate question is whose morality becomes the enforced morality. This is Free Talk Live.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024, and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
It's America's number one selling brain support supplement, Focus Factor, and you can try it free. Focus Factor supports your memory, focus, and concentration with nutrients that support healthy brain function. And we've got a free bottle just for you, a $75 value. You simply provide $4.95 for shipping and handling, limit one per household. Call 1-800-407-6231. 1-800-407-6231. Come on, it's free Focus Factor. 1-800-407-6231.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offered both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
When you love what you do, it's impossible not to be successful doing it. So when it comes to investing your life into a franchise opportunity, how do you know you'll find a franchise that you'll absolutely love? We're Franchise Revenue Systems. Our passion is finding the perfect franchise opportunity to meet your passion and financial resources. If you're a young entrepreneur looking to find that modest seed you can nurture into a lifetime of wealth, we'll help you find it. If you're a seasoned business pro ready to go big time on your own, we'll work big time to help you find it. Call today and get a free guide revealing the top secrets to starting a franchise. It's yours free with our compliments. Love what you do. Let us help. Give us a call today and get your guide to the top secrets to starting a franchise free as our gift to your entrepreneurial spirit. Call 1-800-922-6939. 1-800-922-6939. 1-800-922-6939.
With energy costs on the rise and cooler weather around the corner, isn't it time to replace your home's windows? Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, built-in easy for cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and ask about our special financing terms. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 12/30/06, subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now. 1-800-393-8378. Ask about our special financing terms. That's 1-800-393-8378.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up whatever you want, toll-free, 800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, including the wiki. Over 900 unique pages created by listeners just like you. It's like the listener-editable version of our website, wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com.
Just a couple of weeks till Christmas, and you still haven't worn those brown bunny slippers that Grandma sent you last year. Get rid of the guilt by sending her a gift from 1-800-Flowers.com, and you won't even break the bank. They offer flowers and gifts from $19.99. Mention code FTL, and you'll save enough to buy a matching pair of slippers for your wife. 1-800-Flowers.com, your florist of choice for the holidays and every day. That's 1-800-Flowers.com.
Let's go back to Stephen in Massachusetts. Your bank on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hello.
Hey, Stephen. So what about this morality thing? What do you have to say?
I had to call in because this is something that I hear come up a lot. A lot of people like to make this claim that laws should not be used to enforce morality. And your last caller brought up the idea of natural rights.
Okay.
Should be the thing that laws protect. Well, that itself is a meta-ethical claim that, for instance, I don't agree with. So even at that point, I don't see on what basis he's claiming that he's not forcing his morality on me.
Okay.
Well, it would seem to me if you have laws of any kind, someone would ultimately have to be forcing some other belief on someone, and it seems really intellectually lazy.
Well, now wait a minute. You mean governmental laws, because if you had private laws, then nobody would be forced to, for the most part, things would not be forced upon anyone. You would be choosing to enter certain private property, and thereby entering said private property, you would be agreeing to abide by the private law on said property.
If we're talking about contractual agreements, which is what I assume you're alluding to, then of course.
Okay.
I mean, everyone agreed to the said rules.
I'm just saying that it is possible to have I'm just saying it is possible to have laws that are fair, and that is private law. But you're talking about government law. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So go on with your point.
Well, who, for instance, who would decide what these natural rights were?
Indeed, excellent question. I don't know.
This
life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? I don't know.
You know, I understand where you're coming from, and from a purely intellectual point of view, sure, I agree with you. But we have, at this point, we have a government, and I do want it to protect things like, crimes that have victims, areas where people are hurt. I think that that's something that you can get most people to agree on, the vast majority of people to agree on, that when someone's been hurt, that a crime has occurred.
I would agree with you.
Good.
But let's take, for instance, this specific case that brought up this whole argument to begin with, the child pornography.
Which specific case?
Well, okay, maybe there wasn't a specific case, but
okay.
A general case, anyway, of the child pornography. First of all,
yes.
The major question I have to ask is, what natural right was he talking about when he, for instance, said that it was okay for adults to have sex with their children?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I understand your question. One more time? Hello?
What essentially makes having sex with your children right or wrong?
Oh, well, you know what? I don't know. Just, I guess, majority belief on that one. That's, Mark, your answer?
What makes it right or wrong? The fact, what I said previously is that, children are your wards. It's your sort of job to protect them. If you're taking advantage of that opportunity, then something on someone has to protect that person, that child, who is unable to protect themselves and make those decisions. And that's the law.
I don't know if you answered his question. He asked, what makes it right or wrong?
Well, he's coming from the point of view that, human beings are essentially large hairless monkeys that have somehow created combustion engines and taken over the world. And that there is no right and wrong. There's no God. There's no nothing. And how can I argue against what he has to say? Okay, you're right. And I'm going to set up a government full of guys with guns to keep people that think like you in line.
Stephen, your response?
Well, I think that's a little harsh, Mark.
Come on! What am I going to do with you? I mean, essentially, you're saying nothing's right, nothing's wrong. I have an automatic weapon, and I'm loose on society.
Very good, Stephen. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231.
This is what it's like dealing with the anarchist. This is what it's like dealing with you on an everyday basis. Because you really come from where he's coming from.
Well, except I believe something. I think it is a problem. I think there is something wrong with that. I think that
he does too.
I think that
he's
you're violating
just pointing
the
it out.
I don't know if he does or not. We didn't ask him that.
Well, maybe we should have. I get the impression.
I think that it's wrong because you're violating essentially a trust that people should have between their kids,
mm-hmm.
and
but you
I don't think it's appropriate.
You don't think
to do that sort
you
of thing.
You think it's wrong, but you don't think they should go to prison.
I think that they should be punished by society without using, without pointing guns and forcing everybody to pay for their imprisonment, etc. I think that we should ostracize. I think that we should take the kids on a voluntary basis and put them in somebody else's hands who can handle them better. Anyway, going back to the political land, Michael Badnarik's campaign, ultimately a total failure. $400,000 was raised and spent. And apparently what happened was, Mark, they spent a little more than they had. Alan Hacker, the campaign manager for Michael Badnarik's campaign, has written a very rambling, lengthy email, which we're not going to read all of here. and he pats himself on the back in the email for how wonderful of a campaign manager he is and how he's done such a great job.
I'll tell you, he must be a great campaign manager to be able to spend, attempt to spend this as a good thing. Essentially, we're $65,000 in hock.
We aren't in hock for anything.
No.
The Badnarik campaign is.
The Badnarik campaign is. And Michael Badnarik, great man, who I respect greatly, is personally responsible for that money.
Right. According to federal law, campaign law, if the campaign's in debt, the candidate is responsible. And not only are they in for $65,000, but Hacker wants to get paid, too, his $75,000 a year. So actually they're in for like over $200,000 or something like that, if he gets his way. Now, he put, let me get to some of his email here so you can kind of understand where this is all coming from. Yeah, skipping down a little bit, he says, "We set out to run a legitimate campaign against the big boys, the way the big boys do it. And to the extent we were able, we did exactly that. We started with as good a chance to win as the Democrat had when he jumped in." Of course, the Democrat trounced them. The Democrat, I believe, the Democrat lost. The incumbent won with 55% of the vote. So the Democrat got a good percentage as well. And Michael Badnarik ended up with 4.5%. He says, "For this campaign, at least, this part is over." And then he talks about how Michael's gone on to work at a bumper sticker job or something like that. And he says, "But it's not over. First, we can't close the committee until all debts are paid. That's a basket full of thousands right there. That Michael has to carry until it's paid." Then he points out how the federal government requires a candidate pay the debts off. So he's trying to pawn this off, the fact that he's a bad campaign manager and he incurred a bunch of debts for Michael Badnarik's campaign. He's trying to say, well, if you don't help out, then Michael's going to have to pay this off. And that's unfortunate, but apparently true.
And, you know, it's almost a, isn't it like a threat, blackmail, hostage taking? Well, if you don't send money in, Michael Badnarik,
right,
goes to jail.
You really don't want that. And
I
here's
don't.
Why.
I really don't.
There's an unexpected benefit to the party yet to be realized from this campaign, and I won't be in a position to produce it until the committee is closed. Think of it as an extension of the educational side of our campaigns, educating ourselves. Well, what possible benefit to the party could this man have? What possible information could he be sitting on that could be so worth shelling out more cash to a campaign that couldn't keep its finances straight?
I don't know, but it sounds like a good teaser.
We'll explore it here in a moment at 800-259-9231. Maybe that they should read that book that you were talking about earlier here tonight, Mark.
Yeah.
Financial Responsibility. More on the way. Free Talk Live.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage
from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products in education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day? Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at FreeTalkLive.com.
Only moments remain in this, the Wednesday edition of the show, final segment of Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up anything. 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The AMP form is back online, and that's a good thing because it means that you can become a Free Talk Live amplifier by going to amp.freetalklive.com. As you know, the freetalklive.com website, all of the features there are free. Those other talk show hosts, those radio talk show hosts, want to charge you for access to their site. We give it all away, and then we just ask that, hey, if you like that, if you like the free website, you like this show, maybe you want to voluntarily support us for as little as $3 a month, which is what our amplifiers are doing. They went to amp.freetalklive.com, learned about the program, which is very simple. They send in $3 a month. We turn it around into promoting the show, to getting Free Talk Live on more radio stations, getting more internet listeners on board, and thereby spreading the message of freedom and liberty around the world. So if that's valuable to you, head over to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll learn about the AMP program. You'll also learn about some of the perks you get, like access to classic archives, the amplifier-only phone lines, amplifier-only forum, and more. amp.freetalklive.com. Talking about the Badnarik campaign, Michael Badnarik, the 2004 Libertarian presidential candidate, also ran for U.S. House in Texas in 2006, so this year. And there was a lot of attention that was given to his campaign because, well, he was the presidential candidate in 2004, so he got a lot of attention. As a result of that, he got a lot of contributions. In fact, his campaign took in over $400,000 in contributions. What did they get? 4%. Maybe 4.5%. But they didn't do remarkably better than the rest of the Libertarian paper campaigns. The guys that just registered and said, okay, put me on the ballot. And that was it. That's all they did.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they bought a bunch of billboards and had an office and had a big campaign staff. And they, as the campaign...
It seems like, I mean, I've heard accusations that essentially what the campaign manager did was had a big office and a campaign staff and
had a billboard.
Had a billboard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's about what it sounded like to me, and that's why I didn't give any money to the campaign, because I saw some of the things that this campaign manager, Alan Hacker, wrote while the campaign was in action, and I was not impressed. And I thought, gosh, you know, you've got $300,000 or $400,000, and all you've done is bought a few billboards? Is this the best you can do with that money?
I
wasn't impressed with that, and now I'm really not impressed.
Well, because it seemed to me that Badnarik was the best chance that we had of getting a Libertarian in office. I say we. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, but I really support Michael Badnarik. I just think he's great. But it looks like I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like this campaign was that great, and it looks really bad asking for money afterwards.
Right. Michael Badnarik may be a great guy, but he did not make a great decision in hiring Alan Hacker as his campaign manager. And
sounds like he was really qualified.
Because now, after the fact, after the campaign is over,
mm-hmm.
he's sending out an email to all their email recipients, of which I am one, begging for cash.
So what do we do in this circumstance? I mean,
who do?
Well, basically, libertarians are being held hostage. Michael Bednarik is held hostage. Do we give money?
I'm not giving anything. You made this bed. Now you get to live in it. You shouldn't have hired somebody that was going to get your campaign into debt. I mean, it's just a sensible fiscal policy. You don't spend beyond your means. You don't spend expecting to have that paycheck coming in next week, and when it doesn't come in, you don't come crying to mommy.
Now, I think we would both agree that Michael Bednarik is a great economist, and I suspect he didn't have control over the checkbook.
He had control over who he hired.
He did, and by the looks of it, he made a mistake.
And he should have been paying attention, and if he found out that they were spending beyond their means, he should have said, forget about
this. That's why you hire a campaign manager,
so you don't have to
pay attention.
I feel bad that he made a mistake, but I'm not bailing him out on this. Anyway, let me go back to another reason to get angry at this Alan Hacker character. He says, you see, this is his email. And at first he says, well, if you pay off the debt, then I'll give you my report on what else we can learn from this campaign. He's sort of holding back some sort of valuable information, right?
Right.
Some information that's valued at $200,000, because that's what he wants from you.
Mm.
Anyway, he says, for the past 20-plus years...
I would like
years,
to see Bednarik get his $65,000,
right.
And I would like to see
if anything, that's it. That's
right.
All that should come out of this.
But I don't really care much about Hacker getting paid.
He says, you see, for the past 20 years, I've been a private business consultant, specializing in vision clarification with owners and executives. It's a weird specialty that depends on a peculiar talent, of which I seem to have a remarkable share of. As a result of honing that talent in my practice, combined with 35 years Libertarian Party experience culminating in this campaign, I'm uniquely qualified to analyze the Libertarian Party's difficulties. I have the right attitude as well. Where others see impediments and problems, I see patterns and possibilities.
God bless you.
We've been accused of risking the LP's future with this campaign. The argument has been that by raising so much money and talking about winning, we've set everyone up for a huge disappointment, which will in turn stall everyone's fundraising and support for years to come.
Oh, I think that this is probably the nail in the coffin of the libertarian movement.
Oh, that's silly.
Libertarian Party.
That's silly. There have been plenty of badly run campaigns in the past.
This is the big guy.
But it doesn't mean anything. It's them that's in debt, not the Libertarian Party. What we've actually done, then he blabbers on about how wonderful he is and how it is he has this big plan. All you have to do is pay off the campaign debts. And then he gets into detail and rambles for several paragraphs about how much the amount is. He talks about who they owe. They still owe all these campaign suppliers and vendors and campaign staff. And he says that the minimum amount is $65,000. The maximum amount is $200,000. That's if he's to get paid his $5,000 a month that he had originally contracted for. So he makes it sound like he's willing to just call it a day at $65,000, but he really, really would like to get his paycheck. Look, man, you can't run a campaign. Okay, I'm not a 35-year campaign veteran, but I do know a little something about spending and saving money.
Mm.
And I do know that if you're getting a paycheck coming in every week at your job, and it's $500 a week, you don't go out and buy a $20,000 boat because you believe you're going to be able to pay for it over the next 2 years. And that's bad fiscal policy, because if you lose your job 2 weeks later, then you're going to lose your butt on that boat.
Yeah.
You're going to be in major debt and major trouble, because the next job you get, you might only get $250 a week. And then what are you going to do? Interest payments are going to stack up and you're going to be screwed. You're not going to have an email list of 100,000 people you can turn to, or 50,000 people, or how many it is, and beg for money. In this case, this guy does, and he's going to try his best to get cash out of the people on this email list. And I think it's despicable. And I think it's really sad that Michael Bednarik is going to have to pay for these campaign debts if the amount is not paid off.
You know, that's
but he should have known better.
That's where I'm left in this whole thing, is I'm left thinking, wow, I really feel bad for Michael Bednarik. I want, you know, such good things for him. I think he's such a great celebrity in the libertarian movement, and I want success for him. And I don't see it in this.
So then towards the end, he says, P.S. Again, this whole letter is just rambling about how great he is and all this information he's holding back, that if we would just pay off the campaign debts, he'd release a report that would save the Libertarian Party.
The manifesto that finally will save us.
Right. Well, he actually calls it a manifesto. He says, once the bills are paid and I have the freedom of mind to compile everything, you've sponsored a final report and a libertarian manifesto for the future. An analysis and plan, if you want them. From a top consultant in his field, one who routinely doubles and triples his clients' operations within the first year or two. Gee, really? Would you, if you were hired for a business client, recommend that business go way above their means and spend way more than they've got in reserves? I don't think that's very sensible. And finally, he says, P.S., it costs money to send out these updates. What? Why are you paying for an email service? I can send out updates all day long, and it won't cost me more than the time that it takes me to type up the email. Anyway, he says, if you don't want to send us $10 by July 1st, then I'm not... If you're not going to send us $10, then I'm not sending you any more email updates. So there, we're taking you off the list. What a jerk. This guy is a class act moron.
You have to give $10 just to get the next email.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, good luck getting your cash in there, Alan. Let's go to the phones to Brett in Iowa. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to start off real quick by saying the reason I love this show is because call in, for the simple fact that you can call in and talk about anything. I've been listening to Glenn Beck a lot lately, and it's an entertaining show.
Glenn Beck!
He does call himself a libertarian, which really upsets me.
Is he calling himself a libertarian?
What? I have never heard him say that. Hold on. I've heard libertarians call in, and him saying, you people scare me.
He rarely says it. It really kind of depends on the day. I have heard that word come out of his mouth and claim that he's a libertarian himself. But I tried to call in today, and it was... The lady on who actually picked up the phone was just, I said I wanted to talk about something, and she goes, no, we're not talking about that. Click, hang up.
Yep, that's how it works in regular talk radio, and I know you wanted to talk about Jesus Camp, but we're out of time, my man. So call back tomorrow night, and we'll definitely get you and give you a little more time. We appreciate the call. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
We'll see you online between now and tomorrow night's show at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Are you...